I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
After last night's loss to the Marlins and the Braves' win last night against the Nationals, it is a dead heat. With 7 games left to go, and 3 of those games, they play each other this weekend. Donnie's starting to worry.
Well, how do you not? Because it's hard to kill them and say they've played poorly. Both teams are 7-3 in their last 10. But you look at that Saturday game against the A's, a lousy team. You get a 3-0 lead in the top of the first inning, lose with DeGrom on the mound. And then last night, you give up 6 runs, Carrasco on the mound, to the worst offensive team in baseball in your own building, knowing you're going to have to win because the Nationals were already up big. So Mets got to take care of business.
The Michael K. Show.
Last night was really just a frustrating loss.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right. Let me give you the Yankees starting lineup, because if this has ever been a lineup following a celebration, this is it. This is a following a celebration lineup when there's nothing to play for.
Wow.
Tonight's Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. So the DH is Aaron Judge leading off. And then it gets funky. Batting second, playing second, Oswaldo Cabrera. Batting third, playing third, Josh Donaldson. Batting cleanup, the shortstop, Oswald Peraza. Batting fifth, center fielder Harrison Bader. Batting sixth, first baseman Marwin Gonzalez. Kyle Higashioka will catch. He'll bat seventh, had 3 hits yesterday. Batting eighth and playing right field, Tim LaCastro. And batting ninth and playing left field, Aaron Hicks. And on the mound for the Yankees will be Gerrit Cole. On the mound for the Blue Jays is Mitch White. That's today's Yankees starting lineup against the Blue Jays, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Now, before we talk about the Yankees, I do have something serious to say. Did you have to say something, Peter?
No, we're good.
One of my best friends in the world asked me to do this, so I am doing it for him. It's something that I have known for 2 days, and Peter and Don found out yesterday. Mike Breen, beloved broadcaster of the Knicks, obviously the voice of the NBA, he lost his home on Sunday. It burned to the ground. Get it right out of the way. There's no loss of life whatsoever. Mike and his wife, Roseanne, they were in California finishing up a vacation before he starts the NBA season. They got a call right before they were getting on a plane that something had happened in the house. It burned down to the ground. Everything destroyed. No personal memories are left. He and his wife, Roseanne, essentially have the clothes on their back. But the reason he asked me to say this is that so many people have reached out. And he's in the middle of trying to get his life together, dealing with insurance companies, trying to get clothes that he could wear on the air next week when the NBA starts.
Mm.
So he just wants everyone to know within the sound of our voice, he considers himself absolutely blessed for the people that have reached out and asked to help, and that he has so many friends that feel so strongly about him. But he's so lucky and fortunate that there's no loss of life whatsoever. And he's going to try to get back to everybody. He will try to get back to each and every one of you. But until he does that, he wants me and Don and Peter to serve as his voice to them that he's gotten the messages. They mean the world to him. He is so lucky to have friends that want to support him like this. I offered him to come live at our house. He's quickly turn that down. But he's okay. His kids are okay. The dog is okay. And that's the most important thing. Everything else can be replaced. Now, it's tough to lose the pictures of the kids when they were young. And Mike has always kept every note from every single game, but he keeps them on paper. He doesn't have them in a computer. Those are all gone. everything, any memento, anything like that, they're all gone. There's nothing left of the home other than the chimney. He sent me pictures. It's horrifying. But he is okay, and he has gotten the messages from everybody, and he wants you to know he loves each and every one of you that has reached out, and he will try to get back to everybody. But right now, it's so crazed as he's trying to get a semblance of a life and trying to find a place to live. So that's where we are with that. It's a horrific story. There were some workers in the house. They were varnishing the floors. You can only guess with varnish. Maybe there was a rag left there. Nobody knows. It hasn't been looked at yet exactly how it started, but the house got set ablaze, and there's nothing left. But he is okay. His wife's okay. Three kids are okay, and the dog's okay.
Man, that is just so scary and such a strange feeling, too, because in one sense, you have to have gratitude that everything's okay and the most important things are unharmed people. But, man, that's hard. You know, like I'm not going to lie. I kind of would like to rid myself of stuff, but I am a stuff guy. I can't even say I have collections, I have this, I have memories, I have music, and if I lost it all in 1 second, it would be very, very tough.
But, you know, you look at the alternative, everything's okay, but God forbid you lost a family member.
You would trade it all.
You would trade it all in a second.
Exactly.
So
that's how you have to look at it.
You got to look at it. It's awful, it's terrible, but, you know, things are replaceable, people aren't. So, and that seems, Michael, the tack that he's kind of taking, and I'm sure he and his family will be back, so... The good news, everybody's okay, but still to go through that. I remember when John Sterling went through it a few years ago, too. It's you know, devastating stuff.
Now, he does have somebody looking over his shoulder, though, because before he and Roe, his wife, left for their vacation, he told his youngest son, Matt, I don't want the dog here. He has a golden retriever who he just adores, Holly. I do not want the dog here while the workers are here. She'll get, you know, out of control. It might bother the workers. I don't want you guys staying at the house. And Matt wanted to stay at the house. He said, I don't want you staying at the house. And they went back and forth, and finally he convinced Matt, don't stay at the house. Please take the dog and go somewhere else. If Matt and the dog had stayed there, I mean, you shudder to think about what would have happened. So Matt's okay. Holly's okay. Mike and Roe are okay. The other two kids, they're out of the house anyway, but just terrible, terrible, terrible. But he did want everybody to know that's reached out. He will get back to each and every one of you. And he is moved and touched by the outpouring of affection for those that know what happened. So I'm doing him a favor for that. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that to the people that know and love Mike. And there's so many people in this business that, I mean, Mike is, this is a business of vipers and some really bad people. Mike's not one of them. Everybody loves Mike. So everybody has reached out to him that has heard about this. And I didn't even know about it until Jeff Van Gundy texted me and said, Mike, I think you should know. And he told me what happened. And that's how word of mouth got around. Michael didn't tell people. You know, he got on a plane and just couldn't believe what was happening. So there we are. There we are. Now to more mundane things, like the Yankees. Aaron Judge did not hit a home run. Aaron Judge has gone 7 games without a home run. Aaron Judge cannot be said that he's having a slump, because during the 7 games, he has an on-base percentage over 500. Yesterday, he walked 4 times. Nobody on the Yankees walked once. Now, you can say they're pitching around him. I don't believe that's the case. I think that Judge is having the season that he's having, and as great as he is, for this reason, he has an unerring eye, and he does not ever deviate from what he's trying to do at the plate. I know, like, starting today, now that everything is clinched and you see the lineup they're running out, I don't know about you, Don and Peter, I'm swinging for the fences. And if the ball's like 2 inches off the plate, I think I'm taking a hack at it. But he has stayed true to what gave him the year that he's having. He is still leading the American League in all the Triple Crown categories, because Xander Bogaerts has gone into a little slump. He had one ball put in play yesterday in the first inning. He hit a bullet to Chapman at third. Otherwise, he walked 4 times. He came to the plate 5 times yesterday, and the count was 3-2 on every single at bat. So if you want to look at it, you could say one thing. The times that he walked helped the Yankees get those runs. So he said to Meredith yesterday after the game, I'll take 4 walks and win anytime. I'll trade that for anything. So now, does he get selfish tonight? Because I think all 3 of us believe that this was the night to rest him. Artificial turf, everything's clinched. There's nothing. They're not catching the Astros. Why not rest him tonight? Then try to let him get the record with the 3 games against the Orioles. But I guess the thinking is this, Don and Peter. There's no guarantee he hits home runs in the last seven games either. So you might as well take every at-bat that you could take. Mom's still up here. Roger Maris Jr. is still up here. And he's going to try to do it tonight against a pitcher who's having a bad, bad year in Mitch White. But I think that they've given him pitches to hit. I really do. But they're working on the edges. And they're trying to make perfect pitches. Nobody wants to be on the other side of history. Sorry, nobody does. I'm not blaming these pitchers. Would you groove it for him?
No.
No.
He's an incredible talent. You get 0-2 on him, and he's still finding a way to force the count full at the minimum and walk at the maximum. So they're working him hard. And I do sense there is some frustration when he does miss a pitch because he probably knows he's only got maybe one in at bat to do it. But to say that he's succumbed to the pressure is ridiculous because, as you said, his on-base percentage is tremendous. He's stayed disciplined at the plate. He's helping them win games. He's scoring runs. This is not a guy in a slump. But I am curious to him playing today. Only because of this. God, they get really anal about giving guys rests. And they especially get over the top when you got a chance to give them 2 days off.
And, I believe, Don, that this is his 48th straight game.
And so I'm kind of – and we'll talk to Aaron tomorrow about it. So it's kind of me calling them out on their BS about, well, we got to give them – we got to do it. Peter, come on. It's a long season. We don't want these guys – they need the mental rest. If anybody needs a break, it's Aaron. Just a mental break to say, you know, for the next 2 days, not worry about it, not think about it. You know he's going to hit a couple of more home runs down the stretch here. One game I don't think is going to affect it all that much. You do have a championship to win. You just won last night. Now, I don't think Judge is a party guy, but they probably had some fun after clinching the division. This is odd to me that he's playing. You could send the Marises and his mom home. You know, we'll see you Friday against Baltimore. Three games at home for a chance to do it. And you know he'll, if he doesn't do it there, he'll get the four in Texas. But I really thought there was an opportunity to just kind of give a mental break a little bit. So I'm a little surprised.
I have a flip side.
Based on how they look at it, I play every day. Well, I wouldn't care, but all the conversation, rest roulette, just kind of spits in the face of that.
Is there a possibility, Michael, that Judge just wants to play this game because, frankly, he'd like to get 61 done and doesn't care that it's in Toronto? It's less pressure in Toronto?
I believe that I think Judge wants to play. They wouldn't play him unless he asked to play. So again, there's no guarantee he hits a home run in the last seven games if he rests today. So he wants to get as many at-bats. He's had 31 plate appearances since he hit his 60th. He's walked 11 times. He has not hit a home run. So why give away at-bats? And you can look at it this way. If he hits two tonight, well, he can rest on Friday against the Orioles. But the likelihood is he probably gets one. And then, you know, getting 62 is bigger than getting 61, so there is not going to be any rest for him.
Well, the interesting thing, Michael, is you can't sit him against Baltimore. A home run or not, the fans want to see him. People bought tickets. It might be their last chance to see him, you know, because they may not be able to get to the postseason. And then I wouldn't play him. You know, I guess give him sparing at bats against Texas, and they're going to get the time off because they've got the bye.
Right,
but I don't want to say they're obligated, but don't you think you got tickets sold in anticipation that even if he hit two tonight, would you rest him at home for the three, knowing you've got the four games and the bye to give him all the rest that he needs? I don't know.
Probably not, because, you know, tomorrow is a rest day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had 3 days off in 8 days, and that's what Boone keeps leaning on. He said those are his days off. But it is a little different because, you know, if he wasn't chasing 61 – he'd have been off a number of times in the last 47
games. That's the only reason I bring it up, Michael. Because we're all brought in, hey, if you're healthy, you play. Play 162 games. What is he sitting for? They have the day off tomorrow. They've had how many rainouts in different situations? And you know he's not going to play both games of the doubleheader in Texas. You know, so he's going to get it. But this is right there, right, Peter? A chance to give him 2 days off. And I think, and you look at, nobody else is playing. You know, so obviously, they want to try to get this thing over with, but he'll be fine. You know, 11 walks. It just, I feel bad for the family and the people that are going and watching this thing, because I think just everybody is just looking forward to him to finally get it all out of the way and just focus on the task at hand, which is what Judge really cares about, and that's winning a championship.
Doesn't a week ago when I went to that game feel like a long time ago?
Imagine what it feels like for him.
I mean, God, my whole approach to the Yankees at this moment is not the same as it was 5 days ago. I mean, like yesterday, I was keeping up. I keep up with every at bat, but I've missed at bats. I was not missing at bats. I've now missed at bats, and then I immediately check. Whereas before, I just had the TV on every single minute.
I don't know how you feel about Michael. You're getting a chance to call it, so it's a different situation. But for me, as someone that's not a Yankee fan, or even for a Yankee fan, I'm sure there's a part of you that like, do we really want him to do this in Toronto? Like, does it take some of the buzz away if he does it on the road, where he's got a chance to do it at home?
I wonder if it's wearing him down, because just from a personal perspective, it's so stressful. I mean, every at bat, you got to, you know, reset and talk about what's at stake and stuff like that. And, you know, he's probably thinking home run every time he steps into the box. Somehow he's able to compartmentalize it, but it's hard to ignore. Because when he steps into the batter's box, they bring in new baseballs. They bring in new baseballs. So he knows something is different.
Why do they bring in new baseballs?
So that they know that that's the ball that was caught by a fan, that some fan doesn't come there with a foul ball. They have to be marked and authentic.
Very smart. That's a very good idea by them. Very.
All right, David Lennon.
They should make it a red baseball, I think. That would be very, you know, that way everyone really will know what it is.
Yeah. David Lennon. Columnist for Newsday, very good friend, said, as of this minute, there's only three options currently being considered for Mets at Braves. Moving up Friday's first pitch from night to a day game, possibly playing a split doubleheader on Sunday, and using October 6th for one or even two games to decide the National League.
That would be an absolute embarrassment if they did that.
And whoever loses... It's a crusher.
But how does baseball even have that as an option? Because the next day would be the start of the series.
Yep.
So imagine having to play two, and then a team that loses then has to get on a plane. They will host it. So I guess the Braves win it. If the Braves lose, they'd stay. To have to play the next day, why is that an option? Sunday looks like it's going to be fine. Sunday, I'm looking at the forecast, 71, partly cloudy. There's a 23% chance of rain. So why is October 6th even an option? Now, the full day on Friday, like I kind of see that waiting was probably the prudent thing to do, because it looks like the forecast for Friday is kind of coming their way. PM showers, but a 31% chance. So move the game on Friday to a day game, just to be sure. And then play two on Sunday. Why is Monday even on the table?
In case the weather doesn't cooperate. That's it.
But
like if they put their eggs in the two games on Sunday basket, and then all of a sudden the weather changes, they do have that one off day to do.
So that's what I need to find out, is why is tomorrow off the table? What I would think Thursday, a one game on Thursday, would be a much better option than having October 6th even be a thought. Because then you get the one game out of the way, you announce it so there's enough time to sell tickets. It could even be a night game. It's supposed to be a beautiful day on Thursday. And Atlanta can get their sellout crowd that they anticipate. And then you've got the day night on Sunday. You're playing Sunday night baseball anyway. You just have a 1 o'clock start on Sunday, and it's also supposed to be beautiful. Why is Monday even on the table?
No, it's not Monday. It's Thursday.
I'm not Monday, because I'm thinking the end of the season being a Sunday. Right. Why is October 6th on the table?
Just as a fallback, I guess.
No, but you don't need the fallback, Michael, if you play on Thursday.
All right, we have the injury report right now, brought to you by Total Orthopedic Spine and Sports Medicine. Starling Marte's return not imminent, according to Buck Showalter.
That's
a
big loss.
He cannot grip a bat or a ball. That's tough when you're playing baseball. And the finger is still in a splint. And on another sport, Zach Wilson is back, baby. He's going to start against the Steelers. Not too bad, right?
No.
So it was exactly what they thought. Four games. Well, he actually missed three, and he'd play in the fourth. That's the injury report, brought to you by Total Orthopedic Spine and Sports Medicine. Total Ortho Express is Long Island's premier orthopedic immediate care, where no appointment is needed. After all, time doesn't heal wounds. They do. Give me a little guidance here, my my leaders. Is Orlovsky next? Passan is next. Wow, Orlovsky's in the 5 o'clock hour. Got to talk to Jeff Passan about everything. I'm sure he'll have some insight with the Mets and the Braves as well. Stick around. The K Show right here on, yes, the ESPN app at 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're doing great. We're a little confused. What's going down with the Mets and the Braves? Mike Puma of the Post reporting that the Mets were willing to move tonight's game to an afternoon game and play tomorrow, and the Braves refused. So what do you know, and why are these things happening or not happening?
Well, yeah, that aligns with what I've been told. I think that's a bit of a New York spin on the story, too, and that's coming from the Mets. I think the desire, frankly, is to get the games in. And the hope, at least according to the forecast and the way they look right now, is that they will move Friday's game to the afternoon, and there'll be a window to put it in. They will lose Saturday's game, and that on Sunday they will have a doubleheader to play both games. Now, if that doesn't go according to plan, boys, then this could potentially be a problem, because the contingency plan in this case is to then go and play a game, if necessary, on Thursday in between the end of the season and the beginning of the wild card series. Potentially play two games then. Now, I think baseball is hoping that there is no chaos where those games would need to happen, that sorts itself out and resolves itself, and someone actually wins the National League East between now and the end of the season. But man, if that doesn't happen, the notion of having to potentially play two games on the day after the ends and before a three games in 3 days wild card series begins is a nightmare. And I think everybody, if that's the case, will look back on this and say, why didn't this play Thursday?
Well, you said the New York spin. What's the other thought?
I mean, the other thought is that this is all going to just resolve itself, and that they're going to be able to get the games in as they're hoping to or as they're planning to. And, of course, the Mets want to try and get it in right now because they don't want to be put in that position. But I think that illustrates the Braves are kind of feeling good about their chances.
Yeah, but I just don't think there should be any scenario, Jeff, of playing on Thursday.
In which you allow Thursday to be next Thursday to be
right.
A possibility. But Don, the thing is, it is. Even if you play one game tomorrow, Thursday next week is still in play if Friday, Saturday, and Sunday go awry. And I think there's also, let's not discount the possibility that this series could be moved. I know right now MLB is not looking at that as an option. If it looks Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are potentially in peril, they will move the series. They've done it for weather events in the past, especially at the end of seasons. They will do it now. I just think now they're hoping that the forecast stays true and trying to work accordingly.
Now, this is outside the box, Jeff. And slap me down if you think it's a ridiculous idea.
Please do.
But rather than even having that Thursday at the end of the season in play, couldn't you mess with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week with the Marlins and Nationals? Those games are meaningless for them. I understand that you've got games at Citi Field, but wouldn't you rather maybe replace Mets, Nationals with a Braves-Met game in Atlanta and then just try at some point if you had to play a doubleheader? And the same with the Braves and the Marlins on Tuesday or Wednesday to make up the gate or to make up the game and just make sure that this Mets-Braves games gets played in the window of the season?
I guess.
He lost you, didn't he? He fully lost you.
I mean, I guess that's possible, but you're treating – I think we need to look at all games based on what the record is that particular time, what the consequences
are. Let's reconnect with Jeff if we could.
For that series. But you,
oh, boy. Yeah, let's reconnect with Jeff because I didn't hear – I don't understand Robot Jeff.
You don't like the Jeff passing 6,000?
But while we're doing that, Michael, so you tell the seven people that would be going to the Marlins game on Monday, there's no game today, right? And then the Mets can play a doubleheader at Citi Field to make up for the gate that they would lose on Monday, play Monday, the game if you had to, and then figure out Braves, Marlins, and Mets, Nationals on Tuesday, Wednesday if it gets played at all.
Yeah, but it has to get played. Because those games will decide whether or not what team finishes first or second. Those games have to be played.
No,
they're not important.
Well, maybe not.
Like, well, unless one team sweeps the other.
Well, but what I'm saying is make sure Mets-Braves gets played in the window of the season. All right? And then if the games are needed after that, well, then you can have the doubleheader against the Nationals. And if it's not needed, you don't have to make the game up. To me, that's a better alternative than playing on that Thursday after the season and having the loser then have to play the next day in a postseason game.
Well, I mean, it will make that Thursday game so much pressure, so much on the line. I mean, your ability to advance in the playoffs will be the team that wins on Thursday has a good chance because they can reset. The team that loses on Thursday, I mean, you want a lot of eyeballs on a game? That would be it.
Yeah.
Now, the new format that Major League Baseball has put together, there's no more tiebreakers, and there's no time to make up games like this. So they have really painted themselves into a corner. There's just that one day. That's it.
All right, so I guess that's not the greatest of ideas, Jeff. We move on.
Is Jeff
back?
Yeah,
no, listen. Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. Don started talking, and apparently my phone thought it was so terrible it just stopped working.
Oh, wow. My
wow.
God. That's... Wrong. That's tough.
I guess that new Apple phone really has all different kinds of apps.
It's got wow. That's the updated 16.
Here's what I don't get.
No,
I just wonder about this, Jeff. I've always been under the impression last series of a team coming in, it's all in control of Major League Baseball. Why do I keep hearing, well, the Braves say no? Doesn't Major League Baseball have final say on this?
Yeah, of course they do. Of course
well,
they do.
What does the Braves saying no mean? If tomorrow is an option, why not play tomorrow?
I think that the league believes that Friday, Saturday, Sunday is an option as well, and that Thursday may not be a necessary one. Let's also listen. Nobody said this to me. I'm just reading between the lines here. Atlanta's still salty at the league about losing the All-Star game.
Right.
Every little time the league does something that looks like is against Atlanta, whether it's the organization or the city, they are going to hear about it. And I don't know if that has anything to do with this, but I also know that there are very long memories in this industry, and that if they can placate the Braves a little bit here and a little bit there, then that might go a long way. I'm not saying that's what's driving this, but I don't think that forgetting that is necessarily something that you should do either.
All right, so let's shift to the Yankees for a moment. The Yankees looked terrible in August, and you just
they were batting Isaiah Kiner Falefa cleanup, Michael.
Right. So like, I mean, people were eliminating them.
Just, like, oh, of course, because people are dumb, and because people are. No, people are just prisoners of the moment. It's the one thing that it's why I suck on like hot take shows, and why I'm just not a good guest sometimes, because I refuse to sit here and say that what's happened over the last week, over the last month even, is indicative of a whole lot. The Yankees were never as good as 52-18, and were never as bad as 27-33. They were always somewhere closer to the former than the latter, and it was just going to be a matter of how quickly they got healthy and how healthy they got. They are still a flawed team right now. They're still a team that doesn't have a closer going into the playoffs, though admittedly, neither does the best team in baseball, so it's not like they're in bad company there. They're a team that is far too reliant on the home run, and yet the Atlanta Braves were reliant on the home run last year and ran roughshod through everybody and won the World Series. So it's not like that's mutually exclusive from winning. The Yankees have a chance to win the World Series this year. They also have a chance to lose in the division series. I firmly believe all of these things are possible at the same time, and that what we look at the 2022 New York Yankees season as is one where they started incredibly well, they faded, and then they figured it out toward the end. Now the question is, will they figure it out in October like they haven't in more than a decade?
Now, we need more evidence because it's the first year of a true bye. But we see in football that sometimes the bye can be a curse as well as a blessing. Yeah, you get rested, but you get taken out of your rhythm. Baseball's all about rhythm, Jeff. So as much as you need that bye to set your rotation, rest players after 162, are you curious to see how the bye teams will handle getting this rare time off so late in the season?
No. I just don't. I'm not curious because I don't think there's a great way to quantify it. Like, if I'm going to look at something to blame for this or that, I want there to be some sort of causative element as opposed to some kind of correlation. And I just don't know that we can ever say that the Yankees lost because they were off or the Yankees won because they were off. I look at rhythm and if you're in a groove as something that's impossible to quantify. I look at rest as something that's very easy to quantify. After a long season, when your body is banged up, you just feel better when you get more rest. You look at pitchers, they do better when they have more rest. And this is the sort of rest that going into a month where your body is going to be taxed, unlike it has been all season long, because you're going to be facing the best of the best, rest goes a long way. So yeah, I think there is absolutely a possibility that the New York Yankees lose and lose badly in the division series. Do I think it's going to be because they were off for some period of time? No.
All right, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want to make sure that I got this right. You are advocating for the abolishment of all hot take shows, like First Take and things like that.
Or just ask them not to
all.
Be on them.
No. complete opposite of that. That's
well,
a,
you're just
that's
not good on them.
Take from music. Yeah, I'm not great there. Like the way that my brain works, and there's an argument to be made that doesn't work very well, but the way that my brain works, I can never sit here and say something definitive unless I feel like I've got some good evidence to back it up. And what is hot take shows if not takes that really aren't backed up by a whole lot? Like, there's a marketplace for that. People love it. I think it's great. Just not my thing. Not something I do very well.
Peter, it sounds like what I said is pretty close to the truth, except it's not exactly what he's saying. He doesn't love the hot takes. He just doesn't.
But he has a hot take
people
about hot takes. That's the thing.
Is that a hot take on the hot take?
I think it's
that
a hot take on
dumb,
the hot take.
Yes. Exception?
Yeah, that's you, Jeff. You're very deep.
All right, do you think that I need your help on this, Jeff, before we let you go. Will Aaron Judge get his 61st tonight?
Yes, Sure. I'm just going to say yes because I, like it. I want it to be over.
That's where I'm at now, Jeff. Like, I'm just stressed for the guy at this point. Do you think at any moment?
Here's the thing. I'm not even stressed for him. Aaron Judge, during this slump of his, having like a 970 OPS and getting on base like 50% of the time.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
But
let's put it this way. I am sitting here right now, guys. I'm about three quarters of the way done with a column I've got running on Shohei Ohtani tomorrow and talking about how unbelievable Shohei Ohtani's season really is, better than his MVP season last year or the best two-way season we've ever seen. He's just a magnificent player in every regard and should be the MVP every season, except when somebody does something better. And that's what Aaron Judge has done this year. Aaron Judge has been better than the guy who's the best every year. That the guy who's the best because he's two players in one. That tells you how incredible Aaron Judge's season has been. So even if he doesn't hit number 61, I'm sorry, he's still the MVP, still the best player in baseball this year, and still had an all-time magnificent season.
I ask both of you this, Michael and Jeff, and Don, why not, you two. Do you think there's been a moment yet at night where Aaron Judge has started to fear the real possibility, like, what if I don't get this? And
I don't think so.
You don't think, Jeff, you think he's thought about it?
No.
I think he'll think about it after that doubleheader in Texas and there's one game left and he's still at 60, but no, I don't think so.
No, let's put it this way. I'm sure he's thought about it because he's a thoughtful person. I don't think he fears it, though. I don't think he fears it because I think he actually, the stuff you hear him talk about, saying I'd rather walk four times and win, I think he actually believes that. And as long as the Yankees are winning, that's what I think takes the pressure off.
Now,
as long
Jeff,
as they're going out there and doing what they're doing.
Yeah, batting 500. You know? Yeah.
You know, I revere you, Jeff. And the fact that we were able to share the same air in Milwaukee meant something to me. But you also told me, I said, are you here until he hits the 62nd? He said, yes. You just disappeared.
I did not
you gave
say
up.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you did. You
no,
said, yeah, I'm here.
No, I said I'm here for these next couple of days, and then I'll go to New York, and then I need to be home by the 22nd because it's my child's birthday. I was in New York on the 21st on my birthday, which I will gladly sacrifice because
happy birthday.
Once you're 42, thank you. Once you're 42, like, what's the point? It's all just a number. But missing my child's birthday? No. I enjoy Aaron Judge. I do not enjoy him more than being a good father.
Is this the genius child or the non-genius child?
They're both geniuses, Michael. Come on. Don't do that to me. Don't
all right, hot take, finally, before we let you go. Is 62 the record or 73 the record?
73.
Gotcha.
Did 73 balls go over fences?
Yes.
Then that's the record.
Right.
Wow, you really cut it down right to the nub. I love it.
Simple.
Yeah. He's simple yet complicated.
That's
what
right.
makes him so fascinating.
Now, this is all you have to do to tweak it, Jeff, to be like on First Take. Is did 73 balls fly over the fence? Did I not see them fly over the fence? Then that's the record.
That's
all you got to do. Say the same thing, but just be out of your mind.
Right.
You got the gig.
Oh, I would not call anyone on that show out of his or her mind. I think that's going a little
no,
bit.
No, no, no.
Come on, you've heard Chris Mad Dog Russo enough times to know that sometimes he's out of his mind.
I'm not saying they're out of their mind. Just talk like you are.
Jeff is too bright to get into the reindeer games.
That's the thing. He's too cerebral.
It's not
that I'm cerebral. It's just that I think I'm a terrible actor. Because I couldn't do that.
I got to tell you, he's taking shots. If you notice, he's taking shots.
These are hotter takes than if they were hot takes. He's just saying that the people on First Take are all acting. That's what he's saying.
He just said it.
No, I'm saying that I would have to act differently than I normally do.
That's one way of taking it.
We're talking, hey, did I not just come to the defense of everyone and say they're not yellers and screamers? I'm talking about myself here. I think everyone on First Take is brilliant. I do. People watch every day to see what they have to say. That is an art right there.
Wow.
Backpedaling like a corner.
Like Sauce Gardner. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
By the way, at the end of Orlovsky's segment, I better still be higher on the list.
Oh, this was a great one by you. I mean, the only one you battle is Steve Young.
Yeah,
I don't think you battle Orlovsky.
No. Yeah, Dan's very all good, right, but it's you right. and Steve. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think you could beat Steve, frankly.
Yeah, I know you don't. You got a man crush. You always have. You're like, honestly, your opinion doesn't matter anymore. So.
Wow, that's a hot take. Thanks, Jeff.
See you guys.
Yeah,
that's his first take and last take. Anyway, we'll come back and we'll take some takes from you. 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
TikTok is what's going to kill us.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Rob in Gardner. Rob.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? First time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Quote of the year last night. That was great. I fell off my chair. That was fantastic. I want to say one thing about this Guerrero thing, and not only Guerrero, but all these players watching their doubles off the wall and embarrassing themselves. There's a clip on YouTube of Jim Leland bawling out Barry Bonds. Now, do you think that would ever happen today between a manager and a player?
No. I do not. And for what Rob's talking about, listen, Teoscar Hernandez the night before, we talked about it at length. He poses at home plate and would have gotten thrown out at second if the Yankees realized what was going on. But he made it to second. So you could say no harm, no foul. But obviously John Schneider, the manager, never said a word because Vlad Guerrero did it yesterday. The ball didn't even hit the wall on a fly. It was right down the left field line. He got thrown out at second base when they're down by three runs. How is he not immediately yanked from the game? How's this allowed to go on? Again, you hit a ball 500 feet, you want to style, you can moonwalk around the bases. I don't care. You can do cartwheels.
Right.
But to do that, you're not honoring the game. You're not honoring yourself. You're disgraceful. It's disgraceful that it goes on.
But it is strange how baseball is held to a different standard, right? What is the sport that is more militaristic, more discipline-oriented than football? Right, football is the one sport where the coach can go tell the player to sit down. You're not playing. Discipline them. Yell at them. Embarrass them on the sidelines. Right? That's the one sport where it seems to be tolerated more than any other. Do you not see after every tackle, players dancing or swinging a baseball bat or pretending to dunk a basketball or shoot a jumper when they're down two touchdowns? Or a wide receiver that points first down or drops the ball in the defender's face when they're down three touchdowns in the fourth quarter? Even in the NFL, they can't stop it because this is the way that you play.
But you've got to stop it when it affects the game.
No, I agree, but I guess their logic is for every time it might affect the game, there's 100 times that
by him being able to play the game that he wants, he'll stay here, he'll want to be here, he plays hard, he helps us succeed. So if I discipline him for the one time it didn't work out, I might lose him. I agree with you, Michael. You should be able to put it to a stop. But there has to be a reason why it continues to go on.
Well, it's funny because yesterday Paul O'Neill said on the broadcast, I feel sorry for the Toronto manager. And I said, I don't. He obviously didn't put a stop to it after last night. He never said anything to Teoscar Hernandez. Otherwise, there's no way Vlad Guerrero would do what he did. He styled for a ball that didn't even hit the wall on the fly. And then got thrown out at second. They should be ashamed of themselves playing like that.
I don't disagree. It drives me crazy, too. We grew up in a different era. But I'm just looking at the, you know, read the tea leaves, as they say, and you see the way the players are. And there's got to be a reason why they feel like they can't discipline these players.
Billy Martin yanked Reggie Jackson out of right field at Fenway Park. We all know the story. And you can make the case that Reggie really wasn't loafing in right field. But that's the way Billy saw it and took him out of the game, embarrassed him on national TV.
And that wasn't right either. You know, but Billy was a certain way. Billy also had a bunch of rings. Billy had some credentials. I mean,
he didn't like Reggie.
What does John Schneider have? He's an interim manager. Toronto is not exactly the most attractive place for free agents to go and play. You know, so when you got star players, do you want to be the guy, the manager, who's going to probably be out of a job in a couple of weeks to be benching players and get a sense that that's not the place you want to go and play because that's not the place where you're allowed to have fun? Or do they look at it and say, this is where the bat flip kind of started in Toronto, and that's a place I want to go and play? I'm with you, but there's got to be some method to the madness. There has to be some logic behind it.
But here's what I would say to them in answer to that. You could do whatever you want as long as it's gone. But if you style and you get thrown out of the bases, you're getting taken out of the game. That's an easy fix. Right. You could do, again, cartwheels around the bases if you hit one into the third deck. But to style when it doesn't go out and then cost your team, he might have cost his team the game. They're still not in the playoffs.
I'm 100% with you. But the fact that they don't, is it weakness or strategic? Let's ask that question.
Both. It's both.
Now maybe for Schneider it is because he's an interim manager. Now, the days of Jimmy Leland getting in Barry Bonds' face, those days are over. That's done. All right? That's not going to happen. But Teoscar Hernandez isn't exactly, a superstar that you have to basically fold the franchise for, So I think you can do that, but I also think organizations probably say let the players play. Unless we get somebody that's like a Bill Belichick equivalent that can come in here with a bunch of rings that the players will be subservient to, there's a lot of cities and a lot of franchises and a lot of managers and general managers that probably don't have the street cred that these players will respect them, and they feel like I got my hat in my hand when I'm trying to win free agents over. Do I want to be the place where it's dubbed, don't go play there, they won't let you have fun? Yeah.
But aren't there places that seem to strike a nice balance with it?
I don't know. I don't see it.
You don't think the Mets have a nice balance?
I think he makes them run hard.
He makes them run hard. I don't consider them an overly celebratory team.
But you see, Buck is probably as old school as it gets in Major League Baseball right now.
Right.
He and Dusty.
And when Starling Marte got thrown out stealing a base down four runs, whatever it was, Buck had said that, hey, he's got the green light. I like his aggressiveness, but he's never going to do it again. So even Buck kind of balanced the line.
That's what I'm saying.
But not every manager can do that because they're not Buck Showalter.
Right. Well, that's
a lot of these managers, Peter, never even played in Major League Baseball. So you just kind of wonder what respect the manager even has in this analytic world.
Buck never played Major League Baseball.
But Buck has got respect around the league, right? He's been on many different teams. He's been around forever. But what I'm saying is that in the analytic world, Michael, where we're questioning what the manager decisions they make, don't you think the players probably think the same thing? Like, who is this guy? I'm going to outlast this guy. All I have to do is make one phone call and they'll bring in another manager. When you're dealing with that, it started in the NBA with Magic Johnson, right? But at least back then it was the star players. Now like the borderline players can do it. But there might have been a time you could have kept the horse in the barn. But now I think that it's out. Peter's right. There's a balancing act. But it's a lot easier for Buck Showalter to balance that act than it is an interim manager.
The ultimate ESPN New York Jets tailgate coming October 9th. Everyone is welcome. We'll have a pregame celebration in Lot G before the Jets take on Miami with all your favorite 98.7 ESPN hosts, plus tailgate games, prize giveaways, and live music from Randy Zoo. Listen to DiPietro and Rothenberg in the morning and the Michael K. Show in the afternoon all this week for your chance to score premium suite tickets and VIP tailgate passes. The ultimate ESPN New York Jets tailgate brought to you by Guinness, Pepsi, and 98.7 ESPN. Big 5 o'clock hour with Dan Orlovsky as well. Talk some football with Zach Wilson coming back, Yankees clinching, and the Mets needing every game they could get. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.